You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Today, I'm excited for several reasons. First, it's St. Patrick's Day, and I wrote my notes in green without even meaning to. That's pretty funny considering I'm a Portuguese girl, but I think everybody's Irish today. And the other reason I'm so excited is that my guest is Amy Brooks. And not only do I love Amy, and I'm very excited to actually hear her voice and speak with her, but her name is something Allison can pronounce, as is her website, Prayer Wine Chocolate. So these are all very good reasons to celebrate. Until now, without any further ado, I invite to the show and welcome to the show, I should say, Amy Brooks. Welcome, Amy.
Top of the morning to you, Allison.
Very sweet. Nice. Nicely done, Amy.
Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you as well. You know, I made my corned beef and cabbage yesterday because I was going to keep my fast today from meat. But do you know what happened? Nobody was home. Nobody was home to eat it.
Oh my goodness.
So I have to eat meat. I had to force to eat corned beef and cabbage today. Poor me.
You know what? My we're Irish. I don't think I've ever had corned beef. She always made ham and cabbage.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why.
I love corned beef. I only make it.
I know. Like, I should get it today. I should.
So delicious. I have to make it. I only make it once a year because my family doesn't really like it. I didn't know this either when I made this ginormous 4-pound corned beef yesterday, that none of my kids like it. And my husband likes it, but he went to deacon school last night, so he couldn't eat it. I'm like, are you kidding me? Sitting there by myself. Anyway, there's my saga of the corned beef. So welcome again, Amy Brooks. Prayer Wine Chocolate is her website, her blog. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Amy.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited. My name's Amy, and I was a teacher for 14 years, and my husband and I, we got married around the age 30, and we just thought, you know, we would be blessed with children. And that took a lot longer than we expected. And we ended up adopting our son. And once I knew I was going to stay home for a little bit, but once it was time to make that decision to go back to work, my heart said, no, I can stay home. Yep. So, you know, I don't know that it was really in our plan, but I just kept hearing God will provide, God will provide. And he did. And so I became a stay-at-home mom. I ended up watching two of my friends' children occasionally. And then I guess I started, and someone suggested blogging, and we started our second adoption journey. And since I was a stay-at-home mom and I wasn't working anymore, I thought we'd just network and hopefully connect with someone because we adopted domestically. And so I think the first reason why I started blogging was to document all the connections I was making and everything I was doing for other people, since, you know, adoption's really expensive.
Yeah, it is.
And I thought, well, if we, you know, I've heard so many stories before social media, people knowing someone who knew someone and connecting. And I thought, this day and age with social media, there has to be a way to connect. So I just, that's the reason why I started blogging, because I thought, you know, it will happen. And I want to document everything and help other people to do the same. But we're still on that journey. And God has definitely provided in amazing ways. And,
we'll definitely talk a lot more about that because we share that. I'm an adoptive mom myself, and my journey is very different. It was international, but it's same in that God called us to it and provided in it. His divine providence. I've already seen that kind of that theme kind of running through our conversation already just a few minutes in, that trusting in him. I, too, was working, and when we adopted Faithy, I felt like because she had been in an orphanage, then she was in a foster home, I just felt like I didn't want her to have to share with me. And I was running my own preschool daycare out of my home. And I just thought, you know what, Lord, I want her to have me all to herself, but you know, you're going to have to provide. And he yes. has, like, abundantly. We're just so yeah. blessed in that. And it's a hard decision, you know, because yes. I was a paralegal and my first son was born 2 months premature. And again, that call home and you're like, Lord, we're going from two incomes and now you've added a third mouth and one less income.
Right.
That math isn't adding up for me right. at all. Yeah. And so how, you know, was that decision for you? Was it, you know, I'm sure it wasn't without some fear and some fault.
Well, yeah. And our son was born sick. So a lot of my leave, I think I got a lot of extended leave because of his health. Mm-hmm. So I just kept, you know, kind of saying, oh, I'm going to take this because I can. I can take this because I can. Mm-hmm. And I kept pushing off the decision. And then I just remember my husband and I sitting outside talking about it. And, you know, he's like, we can't afford it. And yeah. I just started crying. and I think he saw, I said, I just kept hearing, God will provide, God will provide. Mm-hmm. And my husband said, okay, you know, mm-hmm. We'll try it. And, we're okay. Our front door is falling apart. We need, things need work. And, you know, so I did little jobs. Like I graded SATs online.
Oh, that's a cool idea. Like, yeah. Cool way to, that's neat. That's really neat.
Yeah. And then, but when I started blogging, I feel passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And I just, I just, God will provide. And when I start, you know, doubting, I get like a little message saying your writing has inspired me just enough to be like,
oh my gosh,
not pride.
Yes.
Yeah. But just to be like, okay, God, I am doing what God wants.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Every
yeah.
time I get ready to quit ministry, every single solitary time I have been ready to just, you know, be like, this is crazy. I'm going to go back to paralegal or preschool. I get just one quick message or email or just a Facebook. Thank you so much for what you do. It inspires me. I'm like, what?
Yeah. And it's like, thank you, God, for sending that message because, yeah.
And I think that's not just in ministry, but I think that, you know, there's so many times that people doubt that God has called on them. I know my homeschool friends go through this a lot. I was a homeschool mom for a little bit. And that whole idea of you feel like God has asked you to do this. Even if God's asked you to go out and work and put your mm-hmm. kids in care. And I know that that's a struggle for some people as well. You know, just to ask that the Lord for that reassurance of, Lord, let me just be doing what you want me to do.
Right.
And I don't think he ever leaves that prayer unanswered.
No, it's amazing. I don't know how, I just turned 40. Well, I'm 41.
Yeah.
Now the whole world knows.
By the way, I made a note to talk to you about that on the break, that there was no way that you and I were even close in age. I thought you were at least 10 or 15 years younger than me, but go on.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, when you turn 40, and that was like the year I started blogging, I just feel like I understand how with age comes wisdom.
It's true.
You know, and I just, I don't know where I was going with this. So that is the Lord giving me humility right now.
No, that's Allison being a horrible host who talks right over you. That's what I do. I'm just here, Amy, to make your experience on live radio the best I can. I'm talking this morning with Amy Brooks, Prayer Wine Chocolate. And we were talking about how, the Lord makes it clear and you say, with age comes wisdom. I really do feel that way. Maybe that's just how, because I'm almost 50. So maybe that's how I make myself feel better.
No way. I thought you were my 40, 30. 39.
Well, so. that's what the beauty of avatars are. You can make yourself look however you really want. So your website, your blog is called Prayer Wine Chocolate, which are three of my favorite things in all the world. Why choose this as your name?
Well, that's a great question. Honestly, when I first started blogging, I was going to call it Raining Roses because of my devotion to St. Therese and how she just always sends me roses. And that website was taken.
No way.
And yeah. So I, you know, and then I was like, okay, well, that's taken. And then I remembered See, a group of girls, when we were in our early 20s, there was four of us. We were all going through some stuff and we started praying the rosary together.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. And so we wrote down our intentions often, and then we started writing things we were thankful for and our intentions. And we had like all these books, and years later we were like, geez, we could write a book about, you know, all our prayers and all the answers. And we're like, well, what would we call it? And then somebody said prayer wine chocolate, because we would, I mean, we're literally sitting on the couch with our rosaries in one hand and our glass of wine in the other.
Love
That's
it.
How we would pray. We just would, you know, bite on some chocolate, sip our wine, and pray and say our intentions. It was very therapeutic. And I guess it was around the time Eat, Pray, Love was out.
Ah, yes.
So, and you know, when she said that, I was like, oh, that's awesome. So I remembered that when Raining Roses was taken, and I told my husband, and he just started laughing. He goes, that's perfect. That's totally you. So
I think
it's a blessing that Raining Roses was taken, because
it was.
Yeah.
Prayer Wine Chocolate is much more memorable. And I think a name that many more people can relate to. I'm talking
exactly.
This morning with Amy Brooks, Prayer Wine Chocolate. When we come back, we're going to discuss our adoption stories. I'm excited to hear and for Amy to share with you her amazing story, talking about spiritual adoption prayer and the miracle. And I'm just so like overwhelmed with God's goodness and his divine. We were talking about divine providence. Maybe we come back, we can dive into that too, because I think, especially when we're talking about adoption, you mentioned it being expensive. I know that many people are probably afraid to step into that adoption world because of the expense, but I can guarantee you, if God calls you to it, he will bring you through it.
Amen.
We are talking this morning with Amy Brooks, and you're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're joined this morning by blogger Amy Brooks, and my voice apparently doesn't want to come back from break. Prayer Wine Chocolate is her website, her blog, and one of the things that Amy and I share is we're both adoptive moms. My daughter, Faith, is from China, and for us, it was such a God thing. Like, we just knew God was calling us to it. And you know, all the questions that we had, every time we had, like, where should we go? God sent people to show us, because we were open to any kind of adoption that the Lord had. And he made it very clear we were not only to go to China, but we were to use this company called Adoption, China Adoption with Love. And then it was like, Lord, we have no money. You've seen our bank account. We were talking earlier about how, you know, we kind of both took a step away from our work careers to be stay-at-home moms, and how the Lord provided, but he provided for our needs. And there was some needs still, I mean, some wants here. Needs always get met. Our wants, we were still kind of, you know, worrying about, and without Compass Catholic, thank goodness for that ministry, I think we'd still be kind of struggling financially. But he provided the answer for that too, sending this amazing woman who was like, I think you probably are worried about how you're going to pay for this. And she told me about tax credits at the time and, you know, asking about work money. And my husband's company offered a benefit we didn't even know about. It was just amazing. We did a letter writing campaign. And in the end, we ended up paying probably less than $4,000, which the Lord provided.
Wow.
In that as well, through tax returns. So he just, you know, abundantly provided. And I just said the last one, when God calls you to it, he will provide in it. I truly believe in that with my whole heart. Now, your adoption story is quite different. Can you just share that with us?
Okay, yeah. So we adopted domestically, but when we started the adoption process, we did not know if we were going to do international or domestic. And I heard Joel Osteen say a prayer. He said, ask God to open all the right doors and close all the wrong ones. So because we didn't know international, every single country is different. So So we prayed that, and there was some Hague convention that really shut doors, like literally slammed doors internationally. So, we took the domestic route, and we had a fundraise and save, and we finally picked an agency because we actually had a private connection, but that's a whole other story. That was a failed adoption. But it got us in the door. Yeah. Right. We had four, and our son was actually the fourth, but then they changed their minds again. So it is not for the faint of heart. That's for sure.
No, it's but not, you, but it's yeah. such a blessing.
Right. And you don't know if you're pregnant, you could have a miscarriage. So it's similar in that way.
Oh, that's a very good analogy. And actually I had two. Yeah. So I can relate to, I've never thought of that before of how, there is a lot of very many similarities between giving birth and adopt, adding to your family through giving birth and adding to your family through adoption. There's so many similarities. It seems like it would be so different, but having done both, I can tell you they're very similar. And I never thought about this one because I had also had two miscarriages. So I'm sorry, go back to your story.
It's a loss. No, I mean, I was interested in that because I have never been pregnant, So I only know love of my child through adoption. And I cannot imagine loving anyone as much as I love that little boy. It's just amazing. So, and it's so funny how you hear before you adopt, you hear God will bring you your child. God will bring you the right child. And before we adopted, I'm like, I will have any child because it was a very long road. Yeah. But now I look at him, I'm like, he has my ear. It's so funny. Like, he is my son. He is our son. And
absolutely. Yeah. I don't ever look at Faith and go, oh, this is my adopted daughter. I say, this is my daughter, Faith. And the Lord revealed to me in prayer, because one of my concerns was, how will I know which child you have for me? Because in some adoption processes, they can send you multiple pictures. In our case, it didn't happen that way. But I had heard stories because, once people find out you're adopting, everybody's got a story. It's like when you're pregnant, everybody's got a story. And you're like, no, don't tell me the horror stories. Tell me the good stuff. But I kept praying, Lord, how will I know which child you have for me? And he revealed in prayer that she would be deaf 3 years before we were matched. So I started learning sign language. And right before we adopted, he revealed in prayer that she would be three, even though I had been asking for a baby. Found out later, my then 7-year-old son was praying for a preschooler because he wanted a kid closer to his age so he could enjoy her when he was still little. God is so amazing. So he answered that prayer for him. So, the understanding that God does have a child for you, and that child, so I'm 100% Portuguese and she's 100% Chinese, and we look alike. You just said
it cracks me up. And I heard a nun say to someone before, love does that, and I was like, I always remember that love does that.
So tell me about the spiritual adoption prayer.
Okay, so in high school, I remember our pro-life group had a table set up and you could pick pink or blue. Fulton Sheen wrote it. It's very short and sweet. It's just Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we love you very much. We beg of you to spare the life of, and you get to name the child, which is fun. The unborn baby we have spiritually adopted who is in danger of abortion. And so during the adoption process, and even like my whole life, I've always had a concern for the issue of abortion, and I know people have had abortions, and people are afraid and fear drives them to it. At least that's what I have seen. I mean, the situations, I don't know. I just was thinking about the women who were considering abortion, having abortion appointments, and just praying my own prayer at night. Yeah. God, please help them. Mm-hmm. And then I came across the spiritual adoption prayer, and I remembered it from high school.
Wow.
So I printed it out. It was on Holy Heroes, that website, Holy Heroes.
Love
it. And printed it out, and my husband and I have had a name picked out for a girl for over 10 years. And it's actually from Star Wars book.
I love it.
So all of you that saw the movie, her name was not Ray in the book. It was Jaina.
Pretty.
So Jaina, my husband said it, and I was like, oh, I really like that. So Jaina Therese was the name we picked out. So we wrote it down. We put it on the refrigerator, and we're pretty good about praying grace before meals at dinner. So we would say that prayer after grace before meals. And we'd say it every night. Even my little boy, who was 3 at the time, has it memorized. Sweet. And so we prayed it. And then the summer came, and I thought, let me go stand in front of a Planned Parenthood with a sign. Now, I'd never done that before.
Wow.
So my sign looked ridiculous, Allison. It was, it looked like a 5-year-old did it. It was so awful. But I was like, all right. And I didn't want to go by myself. So I did research to make sure that other people were going to be there. So I saw that on Friday mornings around me, there was a group that prayed the rosary at 9 o'clock in the morning. So I was like, okay. My friend who had done this before, she goes, make sure you bring rosaries because they'll think you're there for an appointment and they'll start walking in the building.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, so of course that morning, my son who's 3 years old, who's never slept in. And I'm like, we have to be there in 10 minutes. I was just so afraid that people were going to pray the rosary and leave. And I wanted to stand out there, but I did not want to be by myself. I was scared. So I throw cereal in a bag. I throw him in the car, get my sign. We get there, pull my sign out, my rosaries, my son. We walk out. And I introduced myself. There were a couple people there, one woman I started talking to, and I was introducing myself and introducing my 3-year-old, and she's like, oh, he's so cute. And I said, we adopted, and she loved that. And as we're talking, she goes, hold on a minute. And she had a bullhorn in her hand, and she picked up the bullhorn and said, you don't have to go in there. We have someone who will adopt your baby. Now, this is a suburb. It's not like the city.
Whoa.
So the parking lot, she has a bullhorn so that the people walking in the building can hear her.
Right, right.
But there's still a buffer zone for most. Yeah.
Yeah. Not like in Philly where you're right there next to the door.
Right.
So I was mortified. I grabbed my son's hand and I started walking so far away. There was a woman walking up the street. I made a face at her like, I don't know her. She's crazy. This is crazy, you know. And so then she stopped with the bullhorn and I was like, okay, we'll go back and talk to her now. And I said, you know, I thought it. I'm going to say it. I'm not, you know, I'm like, so a bullhorn. You think maybe there's a better way? And this woman who was praying the rosary silently said, you know, sometimes these women are praying for a sign and we're their sign.
Wow.
So I'm sorry, this is kind of a long story. It is an amazing story.
No, it's a great story. Long stories are good when you have an hour to talk with somebody. So don't feel bad about that. You know what, though? I'm going to have you hold the rest of the story
until
we come back from commercial, because we're about to go into our second break here. We're talking this morning with Amy Brooks. Her website is Prayer Wine Chocolate. And she is sharing her story about not only the adoption of her son, but also this really great story, which I can't wait to hear the ending to, about the spiritual adoption prayer. And I noticed on her website that you can get a free printable. Amy, is it the prayer?
Yes, it is.
You have some great free printables over there, actually. You can also get prayer prayer prompts for Lent. We're going to talk about prayer journaling in the next segment or the segment after that, but we will get to that because we share a whole lot in common,
yes.
Amy Brooks and I do. I also have a love for Saint Therese, and she raining roses, I always say showers. She showers me in roses. And during our adoption process, she really was quite active in that. We'll be right back with more from Amy Brooks. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Well, Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're joined today by a person whose name I can say, and that's always a good thing with Allison, who's so challenged on name pronunciation. We have Amy Brooks with us from Prayer Wine Chocolate. And Amy, you are sharing with us this phenomenal story about being at an abortion clinic and praying outside the front of it and women looking for signs and the bullhorn. Pick us up from there.
Yes. So my very first time standing outside of an abortion clinic, this woman was saw people going in and with a bullhorn said, "You don't have to go in. There's someone here who will adopt your baby. I can get you a place to stay," you know, everything that she could do for to get them to hear. And so I did question her about the bullhorn because I just felt like, I don't know, it's not personal, you know. But a woman said, you know, they could be praying for a sign. That could be the sign that they were praying for.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we were just talking. And then all of a sudden, the woman and her mother walked out of the clinic and started walking towards us.
Whoa.
And I remember standing there like, they're still walking towards us. They're still walking towards us. Oh, my gosh, they're really walking towards us. And they were holding hands. The young girl, I'd say she's in her 20s, beautiful blonde hair with her mother. And she started to cry. And then we all hugged, of us hugged and like cried. And then her mother said she needs a place to stay. So the woman that had called through the bullhorn, her name's Mary, she got on her cell phone immediately and started calling people to find her a place to stay.
Wow.
So she kind of walked off, and here I am standing with the girl that was pregnant and her mom. And so I just said, "So where are you from?" You know, started talking to her. And she told me where she was from. And I said, that is not near here. That is far. Like, why did you come this far?" And she said, "Well, around me, they," meaning the abortion clinics, "only do abortions up until 13 weeks, 6 days. And I am 13 weeks, 9 days," or something where she should have said 14 weeks.
Wow.
So it stuck in my head. I was like, huh. So then, you know, we're talking, just, you know, she said she already had a son, you know, and I'm talking to her the whole time. My son is 3 years old. He's going, "Mom, mom, mom, mom," the entire time.
That's what they do. Yeah.
Yeah. So I eventually pick him up, and he literally moved my face so that I would stop looking at this girl, we'll call her Ann, and looked at him. And he said, "Mom, I want to go to a baby's breath." A baby's breath is a crisis pregnancy center that's right near this abortion clinic. And I said, "Why do you want to go to a baby's breath?" "Because they have lollipops." And he said, "Yes." And the girl, who Ann, went in her pocketbook, took out two Dum Dum lollipops, gave him one.
Oh, wow.
And had one for herself. So it was like such a cute moment.
Oh, that's sweet.
So they're eating a lollipop together. So anyway, eventually Mary gets off the phone, takes her and her mother out to lunch to get her information to help her in whatever she needs. And I went home, and that was a Friday. And I thought, I just kept thinking about it. I'm like, that was just an amazing experience. And then Sunday morning, I was sweeping my kitchen floor, and I thought, she said she was about 14 weeks along. When did we start praying for this baby? And I look at my fridge, and I see the date, and I did the math, 14 weeks in one day.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, from the time we started praying.
Yeah. Wow.
And my jaw dropped and hit the floor. I was like, no way, you know? And then I thought, oh my gosh, I wonder if it's a girl. And of course, you know, I wonder if we'll get to really adopt the baby and things like that. But I really never talked to her again. But I did talk to Mary, who was keeping in touch with her. So I did eventually tell her about that. And then, so that was August. So I figured out she was due around Valentine's Day. So in January, I called Mary and I said, "Have you heard from Anne? You know, how's she doing?" And she said, "Oh, yeah, she's doing great. She's having a girl. Did you know she's having a girl?" And, you know, we had spiritually adopted a girl. So, okay, well, that could be a coincidence. 50-50, you know.
We'll give you that one. Yeah, we'll give you that one.
But still, I was like, that's kind of cool. I wonder if she's going to name her Jaina. So, you know, and I did tell Mary, I said, you know, we spiritually adopted this baby. We named her Jaina Therese. Keep me posted. And then I told Matt it's a girl. You know, we kept praying. Then like a week went by and Mary called me and she goes, what did you say you named that baby?
No, don't said, even. Don't even.
Yeah. I said, Jaina Therez. She goes, you're not going to believe this.
No.
You should see this text I got from Ann. Mary, I'm so happy. I thank God for you every day. You were in the right place at the right time. Now, she didn't have the baby yet, but she said, I am so grateful for my daughter, J-A-N-A.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And now we spelled it J-A-I-N-A, but still.
Well, the whole time you're telling the story, I was thinking J-A-N-A, just to let you know. That's how I spell it.
Isn't that funny?
That is funny. Oh,
yeah.
See, I call that a godsendance, and that is that's an off the charts godsendance.
I mean, incredible, because it's not like the name Ava. You know, like everybody has an Ava right now around here. I don't know about you.
No,
like
not,
Jaina is not a, I don't know anyone named Jaina, to be honest.
No, I mean, you have like that really, that's in a moment that only God can construct, quite honestly. Like, you know, telling me that I was going to adopt a deaf child. You know, there's billions of people in China, but how many of them would be deaf and three? And like those moments like that to me, godsendances are when God reveals himself in our lives in such a powerful way. And we have that option at that moment to accept it as a moment from God and help us grow in faith, or we can reject it and be like, that's a crazy coincidence. Oh, this world is so weird. But to me, I can't,
I feel like, how can anyone know that, to hear that story and not believe? Like, it's just, you know, it's just amazing. I remember like just thinking like, I love these women. I don't know, but I don't love them as much as God loves them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remembered that thought when all this happened, I was like, God was letting me know, no, keep praying.
Wow.
It does matter.
Prayer definitely matters. I'm talking this morning with Amy Brooks. Prayer Wine Chocolate is her website. It's her blog. Go and visit there. Lots of great stuff there. Now, tell me a little bit about your faith, Amy. What brings you to this point where you can pray such amazing things? You know, what is your faith like? Are you a griever, a convert? What's your story, girlfriend?
well, you know, my dad, he's a man of great faith. Oh. And, We grew up, we didn't have much. My parents are high school graduates. My mom got pregnant with me in high school and they got married, you know, that kind of story. And my faith got me through a lot. You know, life's hard. Life can be hard. And I needed something to hold on to. I was the oldest of five. My parents had a lot going on. I needed God in my life because often I felt like I didn't have anyone else.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just been a comfort to me. It has helped me make decisions.
Mm-hmm. Now you talked about high school. Did you go to Catholic schools or did you?
I always went to Catholic school. In Philadelphia, there are charter schools now, but when we grew up, I mean, everybody went to Catholic school, not necessarily because of faith, but because it was the better option.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when my parents went to Catholic school and I heard it every day, it was free when we went to school, you know? So, you know, I went to Catholic school and when I was in eighth grade, I had a very good friend that we lived on the same block. She was a year younger than me. And her mom was Catholic, but started going to a born again Christian church. Mm-hmm. And her and I often would get into debates as 13-year-olds.
Wow.
You know, so I became extremely interested in why I was Catholic. So at a young age, I really looked up things that I didn't learn in Catholic school. Like I read this book, A Philadelphia Catholic in a King James Court.
Oh, I have that on my shelf.
It's incredible. It's such a good, it really helped me understand why I believe things.
Mm.
And, you know, I wanted to make sure I was Catholic because I did agree with it, not because I was born Catholic.
Yeah.
But
good point.
Yeah. So I did reading that normal people that age wouldn't have done.
No, I think I read it at like 38.
Yeah. I mean,
I didn't even know it existed until then.
I probably read not when I was 13, but, you know, maybe 19 or.
That's still pretty remarkable. Yeah.
I would look things up and I also have a book on Did Adam and Eve Have Belly Buttons?
Oh, that one I got. Love that book. I got that when I was doing a youth group. I got that book to share with by you, because the kids always ask these crazy questions. And I was a cradle Catholic, but I went away for many years and I came back. But then I started to realize I didn't really know anything about the faith. It's like even after 12 years of catechism or however long you go, it's like you learn that God, you know, loved you or that he died for you, but you didn't really know what was so special about being Catholic. And for me, the sacraments were never really expressed and explained, the grace that flows through them. It's just amazing stuff. We're talking today with Amy Brooks. She's website is Prayer Wine Chocolate. And we're going to be going to commercial in just a few minutes. When we come back, I want to talk to Amy about prayer journaling. I said earlier that her website, Prayer Wine Chocolate, has for Lent 40 prompts for your prayer journal. It's a printable. I think that it's going to take me all year to get through all of them. They're so rich. Like I want to do like one for more than one day. So really just some great, really, Amy, just really thoughtful. You're very welcome. I love journaling. I've been journaling for years and I just love your take on it. So we want to talk more about that when we come back. Again, we're talking this morning with Amy Brooks, Prayer Wine Chocolate. And if you haven't done so yet, go check out breadboxmedia.com, friend of the show. I'm always grateful for your support. Again, friend of the show, breadboxmedia.com. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Alice and Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're joined today by Amy Brooks. Her website is Prayer Wine Chocolate. I really just encourage you to go check it out, Prayer Wine Chocolate. She's also on social media. You can find her on Twitter at Amy_PWC, or of course on Facebook. You can just search up Prayer Wine Chocolate, and I think that I have already linked her on the Seeking Heart Facebook page. If not, I will go and do that right after the show so that you can find Prayer Wine Chocolate, which is just so much fun to say, really. Mm-hmm. Now, you see, you're from Philly. Were you able to see the Pope when he was there?
Yes. Oh, yes. Neat. That was amazing. That was just, and you know what? I got to experience that with my sisters.
Oh, cool.
And my sisters aren't into, like, they didn't have the friend in eighth grade that they had that, that research apologetics. Everybody's in their different, you know, into different things. And, but that was something we all got to do together. And I'm just so grateful for that. That was wonderful.
That's amazing. That's one of my greatest regrets. I had an invitation to go and I would have had seats in the little pavilion there with the Pope, like just right there. And I couldn't make it happen. And it's such a regret, but I know that the Lord will, I mean, if I was supposed to be there, I would have been there, but.
You know what? I just enjoyed watching it when he was in DC on TV. I was like taking pictures of the TV. I love him.
Well,
when he became Pope and he was going to pick his name, I remember I was driving to grad school. I'm like, pick Francis. I'm like, yes. I don't know.
That's so funny. You have a great, strong connection with that Holy Spirit. I'm going to stay close to you, my friend.
Well, you know what? It's the short prayers. I pray, Holy Spirit, help me all the time.
Mm.
You know, I just short and simple. I need his help. That's why.
Well, St. Paul says to pray without ceasing. And you know, I think you make a lot of sense when you talk about the shorter prayer. Prayer does not have to be on your knees in church or even at home on your knees for hours and hours. That the Holy Spirit just is within us. And he just like that little spark of just be with me or help me. I think wonderful. So speaking of prayer, let's talk about prayer journaling. What is it and how did you get interested in it?
So, let's see. When I started teaching, I taught 7th and 8th grade and in a Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I went to school to teach history. And my first job, I was a seventh and eighth grade math, religion, and science teacher.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's God has a sense of humor. I hated math, so therefore I became a math teacher.
That's hysterical.
And so religion I really enjoyed because obviously I was interested in it. I had a little extra knowledge because of my reading. But one of the things I did in the morning was I told them to have a prayer journal. And I don't really know where I got that idea. Because I didn't have one of my own yet. I remember thinking that year I was like, well, I should have one. One of the reasons why I thought of having one is because the guy I was dating at the time, he had some struggles with depression, and his years before he met me, his therapist said you should keep a journal.
It's good advice. It
is. Yeah. So with that, knowing that, because I was going through my own things at the time, and knowing that I was telling, you know, I had great prompts for my students. So I decided to, in my early 20s, to start my own prayer journal. It's just a marble copybook. We call them marble copybooks. I think that's a Philly thing. They're composition books.
Yeah, we don't call them that. Okay. We call them theme books.
Okay. We were not allowed to have spiral notebooks in Catholic grade school. So we had to have these things that we called marble copybooks.
I love it.
And so I just decided to start one, and my first entry is just Dear Jesus, and I just would talk to him, and I asked him that the journal would allow me to see his will in my life, because I was often looking up to heaven saying, what on earth do you want me to do? You know, I don't know what your will is. I don't, you know. I had gone through, I dated someone for 7 years. We broke up. And then I dated somebody else, and all my friends were getting engaged, and I was alone. I couldn't even get a date. Like, it was just sad. It was just like, it was a time in my life where I was not, you know, skipping, and, you know, I was fine at work, but then eventually, like, I had all these apartments and roommates, and then eventually I was living by myself because everybody else got married. And, I was sad at night, you know, and so I started this prayer journal at a time in my life when it was just a sad time. I don't know how else to describe it. And so that's when I started it. And, you know, it was helpful to me. It's helpful. I feel I definitely have ADHD. You know, we didn't in grade school, they didn't diagnose people with that. Yeah, nope. I know I have it. So it helps me focus, and it helps me feel like, you know, I'm writing a letter to someone.
Yep.
He's getting this letter.
You know, there's an actual, I do bullet journaling, and I just started that. Christina Trinidad got me hooked on this. And there is actual research that shows that physically writing things down helps your brain process things better, remember things better, make connections between things better. So there is, you know, I love typing. And if I tease that if, you know, God, well, obviously I want to become a saint someday, and I'm journaling for the last 10 years and I pray for the next 30 years. And I think in my saint cause, one of the first things they're going to have to do is hold a whole class on how to decipher Alice's scribblings, because it's like my own language.
They had to do that with St. Catherine Drexel.
See?
She wrote everything down on like random pieces of envelopes.
Yeah. Love it. Mine are all in notebooks, but they're just random thoughts. But that's one thing I liked about your prompts is that it kind of shows the varied ways that you can enter into journaling. Like you get 40 of them. There's not one way to start to journal. People say, well, I don't like to journal. I don't want to have a diary, but it doesn't have to be diary form. Yes, like you, I do my Dear Jesus letters, but I also will sometimes just read a line of scripture and just jot down just bullet points of how this scripture is inspiring my heart. So if I come to you and I say, well, Amy, you know, this is a great idea, but I don't really like to journal and I don't really like to write. And how do you respond to that? That it helps, you know,
people. Do you like to color? I mean, that's like, I would just, See, it's to me, it's relaxing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could just write a quote like, I love St. Catherine of Siena. Be who you were God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire.
Yeah.
You know, write that quote down and decorate around it. Draw some hearts. Put some stickers on it. I love stickers. I had a sticker book.
I noticed that. I love that about you.
Yeah. So, you know, I do it. I'm not really an artist, so it's a creative outlet for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people can make a wreath, or, you know, I can't do any of that. I can't sew a button on, you know, so, but, you know, I can draw a heart and color it in, you know, so that, you know, and it, when you write, you do have in mind, someone might read this one day. So you're a better version of yourself.
That's pretty funny. I like to think that someday that I'm going to just put little things in there that aren't true just to kind of have fun with people after I'm gone. I probably shouldn't do that, but that probably won't help my saint cause. I don't want to run out of time before talking about your new book that you've been working on, Be Yourself. Tell us about that.
Yes. So this is actually a journal for young girls and the young at heart. Mm. Because when I was younger, I didn't fit in, and I wanted to fit in so badly. Mm-hmm. And I would talk to my aunt and my mom, and they would say, well, just be yourself. And I remember thinking, I don't know who that is. I don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's a journey. We all know it's a journey. But when we cling to our faith, that will help us know ourselves. And God does have a mission for every single one of us. Mm-hmm. And I think that young girls think, and I know I thought, I'm not doing this great big thing, so therefore it's not important in God's eyes. And it is so important in God's eyes to love that girl sitting next to you in class that no one talks to.
Mm-hmm.
Or to just say, yes, mom, instead of I don't want to.
Right.
You know, and so this is, it's a fun way too, because I also say, you know, what's your favorite song? You know, what's your favorite, you know, so it's an element of fun, but it's also an element of who God wants you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, and there's 20 coloring pages.
I love 20, like, I love that idea. And I know you said that coming up, there will be an Indiegogo.
Indiegogo. It's kind of like a GoFundMe
campaign. And I know there's no place to send them now, but they can subscribe to Prayer Wine Chocolate to get updates. Can you tell us how to do that?
Yes. On my website, immediately underneath my picture on the right-hand side, fill out that box. It's a subscription thing. I'm fixing my website. There's several boxes, but I would do that first one you see on the top right-hand side, and I'll make sure you get an update, you know.
It sounds wonderful. I look forward to it and much more. And of course, following your website, Prayer Wine Chocolate. Amy Brooks, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me on. It was a blast. I had so much fun. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
You too. And I, again, I hope you will join us again. There's so much more I know that we could talk about, especially with this prayer journaling. Again, my guest today has been Amy Brooks, Prayer Wine Chocolate. So grateful for her visit here. On Monday, I'll be visited by Danielle Bean, easy for me to say. And we're going to be talking about her new book and retreat program called Worth It. And I'm telling you right now, showing up Monday will be, you get it, worth it. I'm so funny. Mm-hmm. Not.
I love it. I love that. I'm interested.
Yes, good stuff. It's definitely worth it. Thanks again to Amy Brooks. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.